If you would, turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. And we start at verse 17. This has been a very interesting book. Paul has said some really strong things. If you ever want a book where Paul is angry, this is it. So what made Paul angry? Departing from the cardinal foundational doctrine that one has a proper relationship with God who created this world through Jesus Christ on the basis of faith and faith alone. And that's what his gospel was, that he got directly from the Lord. That's why there's one thing that we never want to mess with at Grace Bible Church is the basic cardinal doctrine of God's amazing grace. So many Mickey Mouse with that doctrine. I want you to be aware of any preacher or clergy that wear uniforms, hats and jewelry, and swing things around. Because they're trying to tell you that somehow, in obedience to them, they'll get you in. That's a lie from hell. Paul has told us that the only one that you need to worry about is your relationship to God through Jesus Christ and the new covenant that he inaugurated. He was amazed that this group so quickly deserted the cardinal doctrine of the Christian faith. That doesn't surprise me. In the business, I've seen a lot of massive weirdness in religion and massive weirdness in Christianity, or it calls itself Christianity. As a matter of fact, I'm ashamed to be a preacher. I see so much absolute, horrible clergy and teaching from pulpits. I'm ashamed to be a preacher. Because of what these people do. And Paul said, if I or an angel from heaven preach to you other than the gospel of God's grace through Jesus Christ, based in the new covenant, Christ and Christ alone, let them be damned. Yes, preachers can swear from the pulpit. And that word, anathema, is damned in modern English vocabulary. As a matter of fact, he will say, Paul counts his whole righteousness that he had as skubalon in Philippians 3, and that means literally in Greek, and I'll clean it up a little bit, dung. He says this when he preaches, if I preach anything but what God wants me to preach in verse 10 of chapter 1, that if I try to please men in my preaching, that I cannot be a servant of Jesus Christ. That's what preachers do today. They preach to win a crowd, to please a crowd. I can't even stand them and I don't watch them on television. Because of what they do. If I try to please men in my preaching, you know what Paul's preaching? You know what happened when Jesus preached? They tried to stone him. They eventually killed him. So a preacher, if you're a popular preacher, I want to know what you're doing wrong, not what you're doing right. Paul preached Jesus' gospel, and what happened to him? They stoned him, they beat him up, and they eventually had him killed. Jesus said about all the prophets that went into Jerusalem, what happened to them? So you got today preachers that are very popular on big programs? Turn them off. They're doing something wrong. They're not preaching the gospel because the gospel is an offense. Although I find that there are some Christians that, frankly, are very offensive in how they are. They're sure not Christ-like, are they? Anyway. Paul's been talking about the origin of his gospel, that false brethren had come in and were perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ. For by grace you're saved through faith. By the way, you start perverting that, you tell people that for 300 masses at $1,000 apiece, $1,000 apiece will get your father in like they told Steve. So I hate being a preacher for what these guys do. Paul says if you start preaching something other than the grace of Jesus Christ and trust in Him, that you are a false brother. Do you hear preachers preaching like that? Or is it now on Sirius XM, Joel Osteen, I'm on driving down the highway listening to some of the best music that disco ever produced. And they ruin my day by, they'll have a commercial come on and it'll be, hi, I'm Joel Osteen, and you know, and I just, though, that's it, I lose my joy. False brethren, you can tell him I said that. We've been looking at the fact that there's only one way that you get the promises of God. The promises of God come only one way. Through Jesus. God promised Abraham He would raise up a multitude of children to Abraham. Well, we're finding out, guess what? He wasn't talking about physical children of Abraham. Because He meant the seed of Abraham, which was Christ, and from Christ it is those who are in Christ. So l'chaim, everybody, if you have trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're a true Jew. That's what the Bible teaches. You won't hear that from some preachers because they don't read the Bible. They read theologies. And let me tell you, there are a bunch of nuts who write theology. And it needs to be corrected by the Word of God. Listen to me, you are a true child of Abraham, not on the basis of your physical lineage, but on the basis of your trust in the seed, which was Christ, and from Christ, by faith in what He did. It has always been that way, for Paul has built this up in this book, that the just shall live by what? Be sure that it is those who are of faith in Jesus who are sons of Abraham. In order that in Christ the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles. Everything that Abraham has promised, you get because of faith in Jesus. That's what the Bible says. Theologians will say all sorts of different things. You have to be baptized. You have to be infant. All of this is hogwash. And it needs to be corrected by the Word. So Paul, in verse 17, continues on with this discussion. And he says in verse 17, what I am saying is this. Now that's when you want to start listening. We saw that in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 8:1. All right, let's see who has their Bible open. Cheryl Malone, Henderson, Nevada. Where did you go? Laughlin, Nevada. And God said to you, don't you go near that Vegas, baby, Vegas. Read Hebrews 8:1. This is the same kind of a statement. You got Hebrews 8:1? She'll forgive me. That's why I do this. Should I call on Wanda? Now, how many of you, I told you who wrote Hebrews? I told you who wrote it. Isn't it interesting that he says the same thing in Galatians that he said in Hebrews? So when they say the main point, guess what you want to do? Pay attention to that. So Paul says here, like he did in 8:1 of Hebrews, the main point is this. The law. There's a lot of Christians that love law, don't they? Stone them, pastor. Stone them. I love what Jesus said. You who are without guilt, you cast the first stone. And by the time Jesus was done with those people, they had all walked away knowing full well that they were bigger sinners than the woman. I won't get into you what the Talmud teaches, but Jesus knew what the Pharisees who wanted to stone people were into. And that woman, in terms of the degree of the depth of sin, this may sound strange, but she was a lot less guilty than what some of those Pharisees that wanted to stone people were, but we'll avoid that right now. The main point I want to say is this. The Mosaic Law, which came 430 years after Abraham, does not invalidate the covenant that God made with Abraham. That means this. You are never saved by keeping rules. How come it? What is it that Christians, just like the precious Jewish people of old, make up their own rules? Some of you grew up on rules. He's talking about the law of Moses, but Christians have their own Talmud. Did you know that? Their own oral law. How many of you were told when you were a kid, don't you dare go to a movie? Anybody? What does the Bible say? How many of you have been told you don't do anything on Sunday? It's the Sabbath. Or there's certain things you don't eat or drink. That's nuts. That's what these people do. But that's not the Mosaic Law. That's Christian oral tradition. The law of Moses says this. It's the whole thing. You have to keep under Moses if you want to be justified by law. All of it. That means we love the Ten Commandments, don't we? Which is good. But guess what? It isn't just the Ten Commandments. There's all 613. So what's 613 minus 10? So therefore, you've got another 603. How many of you are wearing wool and cotton together? You just violated the law. How many of you have had lobster or shrimp this week? You just violated the law. But we pick and choose the laws we like. Listen, if you want to be justified by law, get under Moses and do it all, because if you do one, you're going to go to hell. Don't just pick the ones you like. You don't dance, you don't chew, and you don't go with those who do. That's oral law. You get under Moses. Religious people are nuts, and all those rules are nuts. And he says that law did not invalidate that someone is saved by saying, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I trust Jesus, the Messiah, who bore the penalty for sin on the cross. Jesus paid for every sin fully and completely. When he cried, it is finished, he paid the price. You can't. For if inheritance is based on law, verse 18, it is no longer based on a promise. Somebody read for me why. Somebody read. Wanda, I got to pick on Wanda. She wasn't here for Sunday school. The rule is you have to be here for Sunday school, Wanda. Get under the law. Romans 8:2. Read it for us, will you? Romans 8:2. Keep going. Now, what's Paul saying that the law was weak through the flesh? You know what that's saying? We're all born sinners. God made the law to teach us what? That we can't do it and we're impoverished to do it. It was to teach us about sin. That's its whole purpose. It was weak through the flesh. In other words, this, you could grit your teeth, try to keep all 613 all day, and there's never one that kept it, except for Jesus. But God has granted it to Abraham, the inheritance, by means of a promise, which Abraham said, Lord, I'll trust you for that promise. I'll have faith in what you said. And that's what makes it sure that it's by faith. Why then the law? Verse 19. It was added because of transgressions, having been ordained by angels. You know, there were angels involved in giving of the law. That's in Hebrews. You don't remember back. That was too many years ago when we went through that. But angels were involved in giving of the law. And it was good. But look at verse 21. Is the law contrary to the promise of God? If we can't keep it, if it was weak through the flesh? No. It was designed to teach us that we're sinners falling short. The bad news is we're sinners. The good news is God knows it, knows we can't keep it. We're in a fallen condition. And God provided 100%. Of the satisfaction for violation through sin, through Jesus. For if a law had been given that was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on law. You know, that's the bad thing about the law. There's not one of it doing will make you acceptable before God. So if you appear before God this week, and you start telling him, I was a good person, Lord. I didn't go to, where'd you guys go? Laughlin. I never gambled. I had one guy in my church say, I never said a curse word in my life. And I said, what the hell are you talking about? Those things don't save you. Doing those things give you no credit to God. Let's keep it all. We can't keep it. And it can't impart life. But look what it says in verse 22. But the Scripture has shut all under sin. That's what the law does. You know what it does? It makes you know, guess what? We're guilty. That's its purpose and its only purpose. How many of you have read the Bible and sometimes don't like to read it because you know you don't measure up? Read your Bible and know that God knows that and that it's God's grace and He'll give you His Spirit through the new covenant to help you, and Jesus paid the penalty. That doesn't mean we go and do anything we want, but it does mean that God's grace reigns. Shut all men under sin that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which would be revealed. Therefore, here is the purpose of the law, everybody. Verse 24, the law was our teacher. It instructed us on how bad we really were. It gave us the sense of sin, the knowledge that we're sinners. It makes us uncomfortable, very much so. It convicts. But that's its function. If you'd say, well, since I'm convicted, I got to keep law, you do all 613 and you keep it all, and if you violate even one, you're guilty. Our law became our tutor to
to bring us, to lead us to Jesus, that we may be declared righteous by faith.
Now, look at the word justified. That's a fancy term. It means this. How do you get a right relationship with God? To have fellowship and a right relationship with Him. You know what pleases God? Trusting what Jesus has done. You want to please God? Say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, the good I want to do, I'm miserable failure in it. It's Jesus who gave Himself for me. He paid the price. And we're be thankful for what Jesus has done and live for Him. Justified means that when you stand before God, you are declared righteous because of Jesus. He gives you His righteousness. The only one that ever kept the law, the only thing that we can do is borrow righteousness from Him. Because if you try to do it, you'll never be able to do it. The law was our tutor to lead us to Messiah Jesus, to be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Now, does that mean you go live like hell? Paul says that love is the fulfilling of the law. So here's what you ask now that Jesus Christ has saved you, declared you righteous. Here's the simple question you ask in everything you do. What would love do? What would love do in this circumstance? That's why I don't want our people to be harsh. Because love would not be harsh. Yes, there is tough love, but the only time Jesus got tough with people was with the Pharisees, the religious fundamentalists that thought they were so holy. Jesus was gentle with people. He was loving and kind, and that's the way we need to be. But once we come to faith in Jesus Christ, there's one rule that we're under. The law of Christ, Paul's going to talk about, and that simply is, what would love do? Now, that also means that if your kid's playing on the freeway, what would love do? Get him off the freeway! But it's still the greatest virtue God's people now live under in freedom from the law is the rule of love. You follow the rule of love, and you will fulfill God's law. And that's why the church is a miserable failure here, because I don't think God's people, if you really want to be honest, people that name the name of Jesus, if you want to ask me, my honest opinion is that I think the church as a whole, the professing church, gets an F minus here. And yet it's the most important one. But we'll try to make a little difference at our church. Once you come to Christ, you live by faith, the tutor is gone. And look what he says in closing this morning. For you are all children of God through faith in Messiah Jesus. And that summarizes it all.